Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona. I am producer and host of the show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career internet radio show worldwide. Yes. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality by dreaming about or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Now, the guest on this show will help you by providing tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of business jobs, which will include in front of and behind the camera and theatrical stage. Now, guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, voiceover actors, singer, songwriter, comedians, novelists, script supervisor, stunt people, and we throw in a darn entertainment attorney just because eventually, hopefully, you'll need one. If you don't need an entertainment attorney, something's going wrong with the old career. So we are going to have two really great entertainment attorneys coming on in December. So I think maybe the first and second week. So go to questionrealityradioshow.com and you can see the whole schedule of everyone that's coming on the show. As you know, my show is always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So you want to check out who's coming on the show. That way, if you have any questions about any career in show business, you'll know who's coming on and check them out before they come on. Now, what's special about this show is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, obviously from celebrity status to professional. And once in a while, we'll have a novice or a beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on who will be able to answer all of your show business career questions. Well, there you go. The wild turkey's kicking. It's kicking in. Oh my God, I'm stumbling over words. Okay, so if you missed any of our shows or you need advice about a specific entertainment career, please go to our archive page. It's on latalkradio.com and search for our show Question Reality or by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can listen and download any of the shows 24 hours a day. Now, all of the Question Reality shows are also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And make sure you get our newly designed app, mobile app. It is super cool. And it's on the latalkradio.com website towards the bottom of the page. I get emails, where is it? I can't find the mobile app. It's on the right-hand side. Scroll, baby. Scroll down and you're going to find it. Now, finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show, promote themselves, their products, and help listeners with your sage career advice, we are currently booking for January 2018. So go to our official website, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link for consideration. Oh my goodness gracious, I am so excited today. We have some elite, esteemed people in this room. My goodness. I was ready to stand on the corner and collect money because people were ready to pay me to meet these people. And I was like, no, I have enough money. You're not going to bribe me. No, you're just going to have to listen. Well, we are going to meet them in a couple seconds, but let me just see. Yeah, you like the anticipation. Like, who is it? Oh my gosh. Oh, who is it? Okay. I just wanted to tell you real quick, we wanted to thank our guest from last week, Joseph Estevez. As you know, he is the brother of the celebrity actor Martin Sheen, and he's the uncle of Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. And Joe is here to promote his latest film, which is coming out in early January 2018, I believe. It is the romantic comedy called Senior Moment, and it is starring film and television legends and icons William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd. And we also wanted to thank our co-host that was on, one of my favorite friends ever, Mr. Ernest Thomas. You should know who Ernest Thomas is, or you should be listening to this show. But just in case, he has been a star of so many sitcoms and films, like he played Mr. Omar and Everybody Hates Chris, and an oldie but goodie, What's Happening, among a ton of other projects, right? So Ernest will be back. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Ernest is coming back as a co-host on Sunday, October the 8th, and guess who's on? We are going to have the distinct pleasure of interviewing a scion of the Barrymore family, John Blythe Barrymore, descendant of John Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, Ethel Barrymore, and stepbrother of Drew Barrymore. He is going to be on the show. And you know, I'm going to be digging hard for the scoops. There's going to be all kinds of gossip swirling around after this show because I'm digging hard. No, you know, I'm all about the positive, no negative talking about anyone. But you'll be getting a lot of information about the Barrymore. So he agreed. So I can dig. And so you want to go to seniormomentmovie.com or IMDb to see when the William Shatner Christopher Lloyd movie is coming out. Senior Moment. There you go. My guests are like, oh my God, I need a damn... Yes. Oh, you need a gong up in here. They're falling asleep. I've bored them to death. My goodness. But all right, so the discussion topic is really heavy, you know. Now, you know, this show is all about light and funny and keeping it, you know, just pumped up, pumping up the volume every week. Well, you know, sometimes you have to pump the brakes a little bit and talk about subjects that are a little bit, you know, they're not pumped up. They're a little pumped down. We're pumping down the volume. We're not pumping it up today. We're going to pump it down. But hopefully Asia Ray, who is one of the guests today, she seems to be on my level of being pumped up. So hopefully we can keep it a little light and happy. Yeah. But, you know, the quieter are you, the more cerebral. So we're just going to just do it today. All right. So the discussion topic is criminal charges filed against casting workshops based on the Krikorian Talent Scam Prevention Act of 2009, and what's in question. Now, we're going to have two different sides. Hopefully, we can. I like to, you know, do the positive, negative, the pro, the con. But what I'm about to read you is what happened according to various media reports. When I posted these on my social media sites, I was flooded with 237 emails, and I did not get through all of them. But basically, when I got through the first 50, a lot of people, and I am shocked if you're in the entertainment industry, you should know what's going on, but I had a lot of people say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was wondering why I couldn't find a casting director workshop. And it was a lot of actors, ironically, who did not know what was going on and wondered why they couldn't find a casting director workshop. So this is for people who do not know what's going on, may not have heard about it. So Los Angeles City Attorney Mike, and I do not know, and I apologize for not knowing how to pronounce his name. I think it's Fuhrer, like in the Fuhrer.
Fuhrer.
But Fuhrer. Okay, thank you. Fuhrer, like Fuhrer. Okay, Mike Fuhrer filed criminal charges in February 2017 against five casting workshops, their owners, and employees, alleging violations of the Krikorian Talent Scam Prevention Act of 2009, saying under the act, they say it's a crime to charge a performer money for the right to audition. It was also stated that casting director workshops bill themselves as opportunities for performers to read in front of professional casting directors for the purpose of receiving notes and guidance on their auditioning skills. This is known as, and I see pay to play, and then I see pay for play. So I'm not sure which one it's used interchangeably. This is known as pay to play casting schemes, and they often exploit dreams purely for profit. So that is what they are saying, the official various media reports. So The very esteemed and elite guest panelists with us today are some of the casting community action committee members and also actors and artists. So get ready for the big announcement. Here we go. The lovely, gorgeous little sexy thing sitting across from me, very attractive man, Gary Zuckerbrod. Yes, yes, he gets applause. Yes, he does. He is a veteran casting director, a Hollywood Teamsters trustee, and former Casting Society of America president. The second person is Alan Hooper. Yes, he gets, there you go, a million applauses for you too. Raise the roof, yeah. He is associate casting director. He is a Teamster shop steward for associate. And then we have, oh my gosh, if you guys could see this beautiful woman sitting across from me, oh my God, she's so lovely and her smile just lights up the room. She's so beautiful and you can just tell she has such a great heart and spirit. And her name is Asia Rae Coleman. Yes, I think we should give her double applause, double applause. Yes, and cut that now. Woo. And she is an actress and an author and founder of Acting Resource Guru and author of The Open Letter, an alternative perspective on casting workshops. And that is published by Deadline.com. And last but not least, the powerhouse that is the 17th to the power, David H. Lawrence, the 17th. Yes.
Keep it down.
Yes.
Keep it down. No,
yes.
No,
there he is.
I insist.
There he is. Oh, my goodness. He is an actor, a voiceover artist, a teacher, and creator of the go-to app for actors, Rehearsal Pro.
Yep.
That is correct. I have heard, you know, how many times, Albert, have we had people in here, and I tell them, casting directors and actors, and I tell them, they say, oh my gosh, you should be doing sitcom comedy. And I'm like, I can't memorize lines. I am the worst. If you just give me the job, I'll show up and I'll do it, but I can't memorize lines. And what do they say? There is a man named David H. Lawrence who has an app which will help you memorize your lines.
You're embarrassing me.
This is true.
No,
David,
I can personally vouch for that, the
yes.
amazingness
yes.
of the app.
Yes, and
you.
I actually went on Apple on to the, what is it called, the store?
The iTunes store. Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm like, where is it? But I think I didn't type it in because I couldn't find it.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do
so
it after.
So clearly there are some challenges.
There are challenges
Got
going
it.
On.
Okay.
Thank you. So help me afterwards because
no
I have
worries.
To get it.
Yeah.
Now, we are going to talk to, let's go around. Now, sitting immediately to the left of me is David H. Lawrence. And I am going to have him start you off with what actually happened according to the casting action committee. So from what I have is the guidelines, the Krikorian Act, pay to play, the guidelines were created in 2002. They were revised in 2009 to implement a set of standards which casting directors and associates who choose to teach would follow.
Right. And your question is what?
Tell us about that. What?
So,
why is that different from
an actor,
what the media is saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think the media...
Because it's slightly different.
I think the media, what you were quoting seems to be a lot from Gary Baum's article.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that there was an axe to grind, just as there was when this law was passed. As an actor, I was really, really excited about getting into this business and learning from the people who were already there and the people who could tell me what to expect when I step into an audition space. I didn't look at it at casting workshops as, you know, an opportunity to get booked. I mean, I realize there's so much that's not under my control. Mm-hmm. This is just one way to meet my customer. And when that law was passed, I was livid, so livid that I created a website called BeFreeToChoose.org to say to politicians, you don't need to tell me how to spend my marketing dollars. Mm. If I want to spend my marketing dollars attending a very highly educational, very important event to my career, I don't need you telling me I can't. I'm not stupid. I'm not being taken advantage of. I'm not some kid at the mall whose parents are being approached by the people who really should be affected by this law. And that is, you know, the people, the modeling agencies that are like, oh, your kid's awesome. For $5,000, we can train them how to be a model. That's what this law should be going after. Not me as a professional actor or the casting directors that I want to learn from. It's a huge disservice. And I was just really upset by it. So I did this whole website. And, you know, that to me was a mistake. And I hope that someday it'll be corrected.
David, I'm going to step in here. It's Gary. I am actually the co-author of those guidelines. I represented the Casting Society of America as its president in 2002, and I was present when we redid the guidelines in 2009. The idea of the guidelines was to protect actors from taking classes that were not legitimate, so that it stated that it had to be taught by a legitimate casting director who had a certain amount of time in the industry, which the guidelines state. And if it was a casting associate, and associates often do casting sessions on their own in casting offices, that they would have to have the same amount of time and get a letter from the casting director that they've worked with in the last 18 months in order to teach. So when we did that, there was this feeling that somehow actors were being taken advantage of. The reality is, when an actor goes through an acting program, they're taught how to act. When they come out of that acting program, they may not have the basic skills of how to actually get a job. And getting a job and acting on a film set or acting on a stage or on a television set is a different science. It's a different art. When you walk into a casting director's office, there are different tools that you have to use. And who better than a casting director to teach those skills?
Yep.
Yes.
I just want to be clear. I was talking about the Krikorian Act,
right?
Not the CSA guidelines. I thought the CSA guidelines were brilliant. But the Krikorian Act, to me, was just way too broad.
The Krikorian Act is very broad. And it basically was enacted to prevent what you spoke of, to prevent people from being taken advantage of through scams where they're spending thousands of dollars doing headshots over and over again. I've recently heard of a young actress who has become successful, who said that she got into one of these companies that was one of them that recruited in malls, and her parents spent $4,000 on five sets of headshots.
Yes, yes.
Before she even, you know, and promised her an agent, which wasn't going to happen. She got an agent because she's talented, and she's now a professional actress. And that really was the concept of the Krikorian Act, apparently, according to Krikorian, who enacted the act.
No. I have to come at it from a different perspective, as a perspective from a person who had a friend that started one of these companies that her goal was to bring in casting directors to help actors. A really, truly innocent goal, which Albert and I, when we heard the concept, we thought it was great because we thought, what a wonderful opportunity for actors to get in front of some of the top casting directors and be able to be seen. Because with casting directors, they usually have multiple projects going on. And because they cast visually a lot of times, it's a great opportunity for them to see an actor and think, oh, that's fantastic. They fit the role that I have. Now, keep in mind, this is what we're thinking, not casting people. We're thinking that's fantastic because they fit the role and that may be an opportunity for them. So here's what was happening on the other end from the actor's perspective. Upon talking and going to lots of these classes, what was happening in the bonding afterwards was that the actors felt extremely dissatisfied because here's what was happening. Not all, again, not all. This is generally speaking. You would pay your $40 to $60. You would get the opportunity to go in front of a top casting director. And what was happening is that they would get up to read their lines with either the casting director or their assistant. And then the casting director would say, great, thanks. And then you move on. So what was happening is that I constantly heard actors saying that they felt like cattle, that they felt their money was wasted, that they had to have so much they saved just to go to this acting class, and they just felt that they weren't getting enough from just being told great. And then afterwards, the casting directors were doing what's called a Q&A, and the actors were asking questions But again, generally speaking, not all. It just seemed like the cast directors were just tired. They didn't feel like answering the questions because they've asked it a million times. And this was a 98% conversation all the time.
Wow.
And I think that that's what happened.
That's certainly not my experience, Asia Rae.
I have to say that surprises me. I run a review site for casting workshops, and actors can write completely anonymous reviews of casting directors. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that the vast majority of reviews are positive.
Because when I was going to these workshops, this was like 2000. David, when was that? Which we won't mention. But what were? That was like 2006.
I was taking casting workshops from 2006 on.
Okay, so it was like 2004.
I started taking workshops in about 2009, and the site has been on since 2012.
Maybe since that 2009 Krikorian, that maybe something changed. I don't know. Again, I'm not an expert, but that's what I heard, and I thought, why are you feeling like that? You should feel. But I felt, and again, this is my opinion, I felt that they maybe felt that way because they may a lot. When you watch American Idol and you see a million people and everybody thinks they can sing, so they get up there and they sing, and they're honestly just not as good as they think they are. So I think that most of the complaints may have come from people who were just getting that over and over, and they got frustrated and maybe lodged complaints, because I heard lots of them say there's got to be somebody that regulates it at all. So that is exactly what I was hearing, but that was a long time ago.
So Priscilla, it's Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Question would be, on those that had complaints, did they just vent to their fellow actors, or did they bring them to the owners of the workshop company?
I don't know, but this was on breaks that they were talking.
So,
but I found that most of the ones, and you know, honestly, we all know a good actor when we see one. When they get up there, 30 seconds, you kind of know, especially if you're a casting person, you pretty much know if they're going to be good. Most of the ones that I personally found complaining were not, didn't have the optic. So they may have gotten frustrated, and they may have been the only ones complaining.
Correct, but a complaint from a customer is a complaint that the owner of the business should listen to. But what I find is actors, you know, don't complain because they're maybe afraid that something will get back to somebody and all of a sudden the actor's in trouble. So one of the suggestions I've had recently is for there to be the old school suggestion box.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a positive step. So there's actually just literally a piece of paper with a pencil or pen. You write your note, put it in there anonymously. There's no way to track an email or anything else.
Great.
And so I think
that's kind of like what Asia Rae's site does for everybody all at once.
Just so that everyone can actually see it.
Oh, correct. What site is that? Is that the deadline.com?
It's called Acting Resource Guru.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What exactly does your, do you, is the purpose of your site?
Yeah, so the purpose of the site is twofold. One is to aggregate workshops and classes so that actors can find classes with people that they want to meet.
Great.
So say, you know, I really...
So you want to be a soap opera. You just want to focus on being a soap opera.
I really want to focus on soap operas, and I want to learn more about the casting process of soap operas and how to audition for soap specifically. Then I can go on and search for those particular casting directors and associates,
right? Great.
So that's purpose number one. The second purpose is so that actors can share information with other actors in a safe way.
Yeah.
So, you know, a suggestion box is one thing where we can give feedback to the owners. But I like the idea of actors being able to talk amongst themselves in more than just their friend group.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And share information not only about casting directors, but also about talent agencies and personal managers.
That's important.
And I got to say, can I just really quickly kind of, their experience, maybe their, I'm not going to question their experience. Close to 400 casting workshops that I went to.
Right.
And every single one of them had something that helped my career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Many of them had tons of things. I remember there was one casting director I went in for, and I did my first scene, and he said to me, "Wow, you're really chewing up the scenery, aren't you?" And he reminded me what I really should be doing with that scene. And that, by the way, has stuck with me, Gary, for years. So every time you go in, you never know what you're going to get. The method, the adjustment, the question, you know, all of these things that from somebody who has much more experience in the business at that point than I did,
right,
was making me that much better. It wasn't about getting in front of somebody and being disappointed if they never called me in.
Right.
That wasn't it.
Yeah.
I wanted to meet my customer.
Right.
I didn't think that they'd immediately have something for me. I didn't know if they ever would have something for me. There was another casting director I went in for a couple of times, and the third time he took me outside and he said, "Don't come back to one of my workshops ever.
No!
You're always in the middle of my head, and if it's not there, have your agent call me." And that was Alan Hooper. You know? So the idea that you can't get things out of those workshops other than paying for the opportunity to audition is absolute nonsense.
It is. When I started going to workshops, I had taken some acting classes, but I had no idea how to audition. I was completely clueless and completely nervous, right? So these workshops were kind of like a really low
way
pressure
to try it out
opportunity
without pressure.
Exactly.
Yep.
And no job was on the line, so I could just learn and fail if I needed to, and get feedback that was actually useful for me in real auditions.
None of you have been to workshops where you go up and you do your scene and then they say, "Great,
yep,
thanks."
I have.
Yeah, I have
so
too.
That's
once
the one
or
they're
twice.
Probably talking about.
And that's what they would.
And you wouldn't feel satisfied,
and so,
I would imagine.
I'm going to talk about a couple of things very quickly.
Yeah.
First of all, as I said, an actor can go to acting school and they learn the technique of acting. What they don't learn is the technique of auditioning. And the technique of auditioning has changed. Back in 2002, when the workshop guidelines were first created, I would say 70% of auditions were in a room with people in them.
Mm-hmm.
People meaning a casting director, a director, a producer, and they probably weren't recorded. Then around 2003, 2004, you'd have a producer, you'd have a director, and they started recording the sessions. What an actor has to do in a room when there's somebody recording them is different than what they had to do when there wasn't somebody recording them. And I will tell you, even today, many actors come in, they still don't know how to orient themselves to a camera in an audition room. They haven't done their homework properly to come in for that audition. And the bigger difference is the amount of actors keeps growing in this city. In 2009, when we asked the representatives from then AFTRA and SAG how many actors, they estimated about 150,000. It's probably now closer to 200,000. That's what we discussed the other night.
Yep.
So you have 200,000 actors. You have about 475 casting directors. How can every actor have access to a casting director, which is something else that came up in the 2002 hearings to create the guidelines? And the theory was from the city attorney was that actors should have access to casting directors. And my answer to that was, actors get access to casting directors when they have earned that, in the same way that somebody graduating from a law school doesn't just get to go to the top law firms.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's earned either over time or because of the qualities that they have coming out of law school. It's no different. Our profession is very cut and dry in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's demystified by these workshops.
And it's constantly changing, too, right?
And it's constantly changing.
Today, more and more actors are being asked to put themselves, quote, on tape or record themselves at home.
Ecast, is that what it's called?
Ecocast. But the point is, no matter what you're doing, Ecocast is just one avenue that actors can use. But if you don't have Alan or Jason or Gary's perspective on what they expect when you walk into the room, what to do when you're sitting in the waiting area outside, how to sign in.
Right.
You know, are you going to be penalized if you write your sign out time?
Right.
You know, it's like all of these little tiny things, these little tiny, you know, whack-a-moles that you're trying to do, you don't have that now. And now you're being asked to do it at home.
Right.
With no direction whatsoever.
And David, that's what my show is all about, because I'm all about giving information on the business aspect. That's what I care about, because you'd be amazed at what happens in these castings. I produce short films, so when we have a casting, sometimes they come in, and again, this doesn't offend me because I'm all about the perfume, but what you don't know is that sometimes actors will come in, and Lord, they are bathed and clothed, and they've sewn in, weaved in some fragments of anal glands of the perfume god.
Sounds like a booking to me.
And that could be offensive because some casting directors don't like that. Another thing is when you go in, sometimes actors don't know that you can't go up to them and just want to shake their hand and give them a hug because they don't want your germs up in there. Don't be trying to touch them. But, you know, that is something that you would learn in the business aspect to approach a casting director. So, again, that's what you're going to hear on this show. Now, Alan, let's talk about the real benefits of workshops, actors, and casting director POV. While acting classes teach the technique and artistry of acting, workshops teach the practical skills of auditioning. And we just briefly talked about that with the handshake and the perfume. Is there anything that they actors did that may have caused some sort of kerfuffle to add to this Krikorian law? Because a lot of actors were like, oh, no, I don't think he liked me. Or, oh, he told me not to shake his hand and he rolled his eyes. So I hear all kinds of nonsense. Could this have also been complaints that were lodged or no?
Well, I think the main thing that actors may have done to contribute to this is not to voice their concerns or to continue to, if they thought they wasted money, they continue to waste money. Because the actors, I think, the positive thing for actors is they have the power in this situation. If they want to go, they spend their money. If they feel they wasted their money, don't go again.
Yeah.
And then if you don't go and you don't patronize the people that are not doing a good job, they won't, you know, I was talking to an owner of a workshop company yesterday, and he's like, yes, I want the actors to tell me when they had a bad experience, because I want to have a good business.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a business that grows and makes money. That's why I'm in business.
Right.
And if the people I'm inviting to teach the actors are not doing a good job, and the actors aren't telling me, then I'm getting a bad reputation by association, which I don't want.
Yeah.
So he wants the feedback from the actors. So, you know, the actors...
But they're scared, as you said.
Well, they can be. Asia Ray's site, doing a suggestion box.
A lot of actors don't know about it, so it's...
But they could still stop spending their money.
That's true.
And that's going to speak volumes when they put on a class and nobody signs up for it. Okay. They get the hint without anybody having to specifically say, it was me that didn't sign up.
Right.
You know?
But I don't think that it's actors who are doing these workshops that are lodging these complaints. In these cases, there's not, you know, the court is not full of actors who have complained.
Well, how did they get to the court system then? Who was lodging all the complaints?
Well, there was an undercover criminal informant that went into workshop companies with a hidden camera.
He said it was an actor. They said that.
Well,
he was acting as an informant.
He was an actor. Yeah. He now lives in Idaho Falls, Idaho, as an associate pastor for his local church, and he's going to seminary school.
Okay.
But you're right. He was an actor.
Okay.
And he went in with an undercover camera. He had agreed to be a criminal informant for the city. The city was throwing him into these workshop companies. And every company, every class he went to, there are charges filed.
Mm.
He did not see any legal behavior anywhere he went. He found crime.
Any illegal behavior?
No. He didn't find any legal behavior.
Everyone was charged.
Is this possible?
Yeah. He found, and I put quotations around that, he found crime everywhere he went.
Got it.
And everybody got charged that he attended. And the workshop companies that were charged, none of them have a record of him attending before he became a criminal informant.
Mm.
So how did he know these places were the ones to investigate?
Mm.
You know, how did they decide who to investigate? That's part of the fear from the casting community is we know somebody that knows these defendants. And we know them to be honest, good
people. But didn't it get
people
up to the point where they sent somebody in undercover because there were so many complaints? Because why would you send someone in undercover if there weren't any complaints? Why did they do that?
Well, that's a very good...
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I gotta be honest.
That's a very good question. What I would say is, okay, let's say that is the case. So he comes forward. He gets these charges announced. Why has nobody else joined the complaint? He is the only one that's the complainant. So if there were all these other people that were afraid to speak up, well, you've got the first one to speak up. And usually, like unfortunately with Bill Cosby, the first woman spoke up and then 50 more spoke up eventually. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. So why has no one else that felt they were, you know, cheated and stolen from and want to file a complaint? Where are they?
Mm. Yeah.
And look, let's be realistic here. You have a class. We're not an exact science. The entertainment industry is about as far from an exact science as possible. So doctors teach continuing education classes, and younger doctors or physician's assistants bring them resumes during those classes, and they pay a tremendous amount to attend those classes. Lawyers have to take continuing education classes. They pay thousands of dollars to attend those classes, and they bring their resumes to those classes and hand it to the people teaching. Why casting directors are singled out as horrible people if they take a resume from somebody who takes a class, that's beyond me. But you have a class of actors, and it's an inexact science, and you begin to see a pattern when you're teaching that class within the class. So you change your perspective in how you're doing that class. So every actor is not going to get the exact same experience in the same class. And as I read one actor and I say, wow, you've done this right, and you're doing this right, and then the next actor comes up and your body language is wrong, you're adding a lot of excessive words that aren't written in the script. So each situation becomes a little different. A class in an art, in any art, I was an art major, it can't be the same from class to class. Yes, it can have outlining guidelines, but we're an artistic entity.
Right.
It's got to be malleable and flexible.
Right. So your committee was formed. Who initiated the committee? What were the bullet points, so to speak? And what are you doing? Because, again, I did all this research recently, so I understand that there was the class action lawsuit, and I think that it was the rules came out, they said sometime in March, which I couldn't find any article.
I don't think it's a class action lawsuit.
That's in one of the things I read.
No, there was somebody online that was trying to engender more fear amongst everybody and was talking about a class action lawsuit that never materialized.
Okay. Yeah, this is a very specific lawsuit.
That's why I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's a very specific lawsuit against five defendants.
Yes.
Who, when I read that list, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I think I read, and again, if I'm wrong, quote, but I read Scott David, who's one of the biggest in the business. They fired him from Criminal Minds from having acting workshops.
Well, see, that's part of the spin as well. Because they, you know, when I hear fired, I think they
that
came
was
into
the media headline.
I feel like they came into his office. They told him to pack his things get out. That's what fired means to me. What technically happened was the TV season was over. The show had wrapped for the season, and his contract was not picked up for the next season.
Right. See, but that's media. And it was, you know how they spend things.
And it just happened to coincide with this, and Gary Baum managed to try and put two and two together without really knowing anything about how casting works.
Right.
So I gotta say something about Gary Baum. I was on a shoot in Nashville, Tennessee, and he called me and he wanted to interview me as being on that side, on the side that I'm on when it comes to being pro workshop.
Right.
We spoke for 45 minutes.
Right.
He didn't use one single thing that I said because it didn't align with his viewpoint of the story. And, you know, towards the end of the conversation, I was like, look, I just disagree with you, Gary, and I hope that you understand that I don't think what you're doing is right. You're doing a huge disservice to actors and to the casting community by pursuing this witch hunt.
Right.
And that was when he said, I got to go. I got another appointment.
See ya. Okay, so this committee was formed. How many people are on it? What is your goal? What is happening as far as when they filed all of this and something came down or whatever the legalities were? Has your committee had any impact? And what is the message you want to get across? Because we got actors that are scared to take workshops. We got casting directors are afraid to have workshops. So there's a lot of fear going on. What are you doing?
Correct. So the committee, I would say, was started by Jason Kennedy. He's co-casting director for the NCIS and NCIS LA. And his initial purpose was he wanted to help these defendants have a fair day in trial, because the legal bills are astronomical.
Defendants being the casting director.
The casting director is correct. The casting director
and the defendant. Workshop operators, right?
Well, we were primarily focused on the casting director defendants in helping raise money.
There was a crowdfunder campaign.
Correct. Right. On generosity.com, if you just look up casting defense fund generosity, you will find it. Through Jason's efforts, he's raised over $30,000. Now, of course, that's divided amongst 18 defendants. But it's been helpful. That was step one. Step two was trying to meet with various people and try and get the positive message out there, because, you know, the detractors have been so vocal. Unfortunately, because as you said, some of them are probably not the best actors, so they don't have the best or a career at all.
Right.
So they have plenty of time to be on the internet
saying
their negative thoughts and trying to take away from those that found a positive value here. Jason has also been very good at helping sympathetic casting directors get in contact with defendants that were charged and helping them find work. Because you can only imagine the stigma this has put on honest, good people to have these charges on them. And I know of at least two people that Jason has helped get employment through this. So we thank those casting directors that are looking out, you know, for their colleagues. And we're trying to do something positive, you know, and trying to help, as opposed to all this destructive, negative energy from those people that are opposed to workshops. And they just seem to want to tear everything down while we're trying to help people and build them up.
Right. And how are you doing that? Are you going around to acting classes, or still remaining workshops? Because there are still some people having workshops. I just read, I get an email every week, and this person has workshops, and they're with some of the top casting people. It's called, I've never been to one, it's called Actors Creative Workshop. And she or he, whoever owns this place, is still confident, and they're having their workshops. And, I mean, from what I can read, they sound really good.
There are a number of workshop places
really
that are still open.
Informative. So this person obviously isn't running scared, and I would hope that all casting directors there's not, like, stormtroopers that come in and shut you down. I mean, what happens if you have a casting director class and you go through with it? Does someone come in and, like...
I have not heard of anything happening like that. But the fear comes from knowing the people and knowing they're good and can't imagine they've done anything wrong. And then trying to imagine what good thing they did that's been distorted or misperceived. And there's a lot of unknowns about this. And so, you know, good people wanting to do what's right sometimes do nothing at all to make certain they don't accidentally do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Which basically leaves you with all the bad people continuing to do whatever they wanted.
So have they rerouted and put up new rules since this whole thing has happened with the recent...
No, the rules are the same rules that they have. The 2009 revised guidelines.
Okay.
They are supported by the Casting Society of America. And those are the rules that we follow when we teach a class.
Mm-hmm.
The rules are... We have to discuss headshots. We have to. There's a tremendous amount that is in those rules when you're teaching a class.
But do all of? I'm just curious. But because you have this committee now, do you have monthly meetings where you have a bunch of casting directors that are brought there, and you say, okay, we want to make sure that we stay as close to doing things legally as possible. This is what you have to do in workshops.
The Casting Society. The Casting Society of America, nor the Teamsters who represent the casting directors, are not going to police these workshops. Okay. That is the responsibility of the city if they choose to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, and the committee is really a grassroots effort. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not officially part of the CSA or part of the Teamsters.
Is that a goal?
No, it's really, we just stepped forward because we felt that our friends needed help. And, you know, it was, it's not really a Teamster issue, because workshops are not, you know, Teamster employment. And the CSA has had their hands tied for various reasons. So as individuals, we've come together to try and, you know, give emotional support to our friends, financial support. The open letter that was published on Deadline last Tuesday, which was signed by over half of the CSA members in Los Angeles, but it was a grassroots effort. Mm-hmm. And it was just a way for us to show our friends that they had our support, they had our love, and we would want them to help them clear their good names. Because it's just scary. I've sat in court with the defendants, and they're sitting there. Their lives are completely upended. All they were trying to do was help actors. I mean, I was an actor before I got into casting. I know what it's like for an actor to have that dream to be a working actor. I would never, ever in a million years exploit that for profit. Even the detractors, the people that, I think they have to be thinking they're doing good. Yeah. That's my fundamental hope, that they're doing good. It would bother me immensely to find out they were doing it for self-aggrandizing reasons, to publish a book. Right. Or something, something they would repeatedly be trying to publish, right, and not getting published, but they talk about all the time.
Right.
I would just really hope that's not what somebody's goal is, that they're really thinking that they're helping actors.
Yeah. And Asia, right now, how, let's talk about point number three. That's the 5 minutes. Okay. How very important, because I think this is the main thing that I felt that these actors who were complaining when they were out on their smoke breaks, how workshops are not auditions, they're educational.
Absolutely. I think that for the most part, actors who are complaining are approaching them from the wrong perspective and not looking for the educational value in workshops. It's all about what people expect. So I know for a fact that I get a lot of value out of watching a casting director give feedback to another actor.
Exactly.
Right?
Just that
watching.
Is
you know
why
what to do, what not to do.
Because it's up to you as an actor to bring your questions.
Absolutely.
Because that's what they do.
This is the worst possible time for this to be happening. We have more active scripted shows being produced than we ever have in history. Which means the casting community, which hasn't grown commensurately with the number of shows, has that much less time to cast each role.
Right.
And that means more actors should be seen by those casting directors, and they're not, because the workshops are being sublimated. The workshops are being discouraged. And yeah, there are a few people that are still open, and I'm thrilled for ACE and for ACW and for the other places that do it, but the fact is, this industry is being given a disservice by these workshops not being available.
Because these are, David, these are casting directors that know what is going on.
Right.
They are the ones that need to tell you. An acting teacher, God bless them, but they can't tell you what you need to do to prepare for an audition.
Yeah, and even outside of the Q&As, casting directors start off with an explanation of how their office works and how many people they bring in for different roles.
And
how it's different casting locally,
what
they're casting, what those projects are all about. So it just, I mean...
What were you going to say, Gary?
So we have more production here. We have more actors. In 2002, I might have sent out a breakdown for a co-star role, and I probably would have gotten 300, maybe 400 actors. I can get between 3,000 and 4,000 actors now.
Right.
And I would say I bring in probably 15 actors for each one of those roles. At least 5 of them can't audition.
Yes.
They haven't done their research. They have no idea how to, as I said before, orient to the camera. And they don't even know their lines.
Yeah.
When I teach a class, we go through all of those things and much more. And it's an education. It's the education that you just don't get in an acting program.
Right. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because actors don't know that when you come into an audition, you're not supposed to be wanting to socialize and talk and tell them about who you know and what you've been on. And you know, a lot of actors, when they came in to read, I'm like, you know what? You probably don't want to do that when you go in front of the big casting directors, because they didn't know that. They didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's something that they need to know by meeting people like you. So the last thing is dispelling the misconceptions and myths promoted by the other side of the issue. This includes the contention that workshops replace generally meeting truth. So last thing, Alan, what do you want to say on that?
I can say it very quickly. There's 80% less workshops now than there were a year ago. Are there 80% more general meetings? No.
Whoa.
So it's something that they've equated. General meetings were replaced by technology, if you want to know my opinion, and Gary alluded to it. When you get, we put out a role, we got 4,700 submissions. if I was trying to find those 4,700 people from doing workshops, how many would I have to do and do mm-hmm. nothing else and not even have a guarantee that the people showing up were right for the role?
Right.
The click of a mouse button, the internet replaced general meetings, much like they replaced the camera, the book,
yeah.
the CD, the DVD. It's just a change of time.
And it is a complete fallacy that these guys and the women in the world of casting have time
yeah.
for that. They don't even have time to do
right.
the kinds of casting processes that they used to be able to do when there were fewer opportunities that had to be filled.
Right.
Would it be fair to say that your schedules are a lot denser than they used to be?
Our schedules are denser. The demands by studios and networks are denser. When you hired even a guest star role before we were taping people, you didn't send a tape to the studio and then the network and then the development executives. Now you do it for a co-star role that may have one or two lines or even one or two words.
I know.
So I have to see that many more people to make sure that I'm pleasing. I always equate it to this. Ask a group of 11 people, because that may be the chain
right.
of people that have to. Ask a group of 11 people where they want to go to lunch. Yeah. And try to get a quick one answer.
I know. So
it's the same thing now casting.
I know. So what are you got casting people, my casting, what are you doing now because of this whole situation happening? How are you doing workshops, I guess, is number one. Are you still doing them?
I am still doing workshops.
And I am as well.
I generally do a 3-week class, because it's the same class going for 3 weeks, and each week it's recorded, and then we look at the actor looks at what they've done with my comments on it, and the next week we talk about it so they can see what needs improving or what's working for them.
You just, all right, I discovered what's happening now. Okay, you are talking about doing workshops where it's come on like 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, right, for a certain amount of hours. Now, that is a definite true workshop. The people that I had heard these complaints from, and not only me, but a lot of actors, these were the ones where, and I don't know if they're still around, but this was when they would say, okay, this person is coming to do a workshop, you would pay your money and you would get to go up in front of the casting person. They would do the scene and then say thanks, and then that was it, and they would sit and they went one after another, and that was the first and only time you got to see them. So I think that's probably what it was, that they felt dissatisfied maybe.
Well, I do those kind of workshops.
Are they different?
They're shorter, they're not as in-depth as what Gary does. For me, they're a little more, like Gary was saying earlier, it's an art. Mm-hmm. So there's not a syllabus. It's me going in, quickly using my 10 years of casting experience to see what the holes are in this actor's craft and give them notes that they can then maybe have a chance to do it a second time and try to implement those notes. But it's really taking those notes home with them to think about and work on right. for themselves.
And yeah. I love those kind of workshops because yeah. I want the opportunity for that kind of feedback outside of a time when I am actually going out for a role. I don't want to lose a role because right. I'm not doing something correctly when I can get feedback from Alan
yeah.
before
yeah.
that happens.
And so it's each actor's at a different level. You know, we're not putting constraints on who can sign up for the class.
Yeah.
We welcome anybody
right.
that wishes to learn.
Right.
And so you have to be able to quickly go, this person knows very little. These are the basic skills they need. And maybe there's a class I would recommend they go take.
Right.
And I actually did that yesterday. I tried as gently as possible to mm-hmm. tell the gentleman he wasn't ready for the material he was doing.
Right.
He needed to go get a class. And that's kind of a hard conversation yeah. to have with an actor, but that's
it
what
is.
You have to do to
and
help them.
And then when you had those casting work, what are they called? Is that a certain type of
I
where
call
you
it
just
a,
meet at one time?
It's a one-on-one, or it's an, I call it individual
it's not
instruction.
A workshop mm-hmm. in the traditional
they're
sense.
They're like so one-on-one workshops. One-on-one. They're classroom-style workshops.
Okay. So I think that, and this is my thought, I think that they were dissatisfied because they got up there, they did their line, the casting director said, thanks. And then because there's a whole bunch of people and they only have a certain amount of time, they need to get through the people because they paid to come to the class. And I think that the Q&A was your opportunity to ask the casting person. And if you didn't, then you didn't learn anything. And that's where you got dissatisfied. So, all right. So lastly, last question, What do you want to say about the committee that you're doing, that you've made headway, and that you are going to stand strong for these casting directors and continue on to be pro?
I'm going to say what our next challenge is going to be is emotionally supporting people that find they can't fight City Hall. And I'll go with Brad Sachs. He was the owner of Actors Alley that took a plea, which included 150 hours of community service, a $70 fine, and 3 years probation. So if you take 150 hours of community service, times it by $15, that's $2,250 of his time he is having to give. It would have cost him $15,000 to $25,000 to go to trial and clear his good name.
Right.
No contest.
Yeah.
That's what he pled.
Yeah.
No contest. And I'm fairly certain there might be others that have that financial burden, and they also will plead no contest.
Right.
And these detractors, these negative people, are going to point at them and go, aha, guilty. They're not guilty.
Because it's not a point of the money. It's they're accepting it. It's going on a legal documentation.
But
you're
going to
have that charge.
Yeah.
That's worse than having to pay a fine.
They don't have the money to clear their
right.
good name.
Right.
They
and
just don't.
And at this point, I think what the entire casting community wants to see, and in my capacity as a trustee on the board of Local 399 for the Teamsters and my past as president of the CSA, I hear from a lot of casting directors, and what they want to see is they want to see their colleagues get their fair and speedy trial and not have it delayed and delayed and
delayed. Oh, is that what's happening?
And that is what's happening.
Ooh, so that means more money. Oh, my gosh. So have they pretty much wrapped up the witch hunt, or is this still actively going on?
Nobody knows.
Yeah, we actually tried to get a meeting with Mike Fuhrer's office, and we were told, sure, we'll meet with you, but anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Wow.
They were not open to discussing it in the least.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, there you have it. So I would say, if you're an actor, listen to what has been said today, but most importantly, remembering if you go to these casting director workshops, in order to feel satisfied, if you do get up there and they say, great, thanks, it's mostly because they got to get through people, but then there's the Q&A, and they always offer it. I have never been to a casting director workshop where they don't. It's your job to ask questions about your headshot, about anything you want. So that way you can walk away feeling satisfied and you don't go bitch and whine and complain and cause problems for my casting director friends. All right. All right. So David, I want to thank you so much. What's your app again?
It's called Rehearsal Pro.
Rehearsal Pro.
Yep.
Thank you, my darling. What do you want to say? Goodbye to your fans? Do you want to say bye to mom? What's happening here?
No, I just want to encourage people to do the right thing, and actors should not be afraid of getting instruction from legitimate casting directors teaching legitimate
workshops. So keep going to these workshops, because if you keep going, then the casting directors will feel more confident to keep having them. Asia, what do you want to say? Deadline.com?
I want to encourage actors who enjoy workshops to speak up about that, because actors who do are being painted as stupid and as being taken advantage of, and so it's not something that people are readily saying,
right.
And it's not true.
Okay, and lastly, Alan.
I would say all actors are dreamers, and they should not allow obstacles to become excuses and excuses to become reasons for failure, and others that have failed should not negatively impact their dreams.
Right. That's right. If you can't act, you can't act. Move on. There's lots of jobs out there you can do. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye!
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.